Thank you so much, Benjamin. I'm very excited to be here today, and thank you for having me. Thank you, Theo, for that wonderfully sentimental reading. I think all of us felt like we were on a journey, on an odyssey. So that was just a lovely experience. Thank you so much for that. So it's a rainy day here in Auckland, New Zealand. I've never been to Ireland, but I hear that we share the same weather. So definitely something to tick off my list one day. So today I'll be reading a few poems that are inspired by the sea. And for the last 10 years or so, I've lived by the sea. And I've been very lucky to be able to you know, watch the seasons change, watch the waves come in and out. And I think you feel very connected to the elements when you're there. So a lot of lines in Theo's poems resonated, just because you know, we're right by the sea, so sometimes it feels like we're living on a ship. So my first poem I'm going to read is from my book, Sea of Strangers. And this poem was originally published in my first book, Love and Misadventure. It's one that I want to start with, just because it was the start of everything for me. It was the first poem that I shared with the world, and it just really kicked things off for me. Sea of Strangers. In a sea of strangers, you've longed to know me. Your life spent sailing to my shores. The arms that yearn to someday hold me will ache beneath the heavy oars. Please take your time and take it slowly, as all you do will run its course. And nothing else can take what only was always meant as solely yours. Thank you. And this poem is High Tide. Are you somewhere looking at the sea, my love? You love to watch the tide come in, love the fullness of it. Said that's how your heart was when I smiled. I was angry once about how much you loved my smile. Some days it felt like a burden to smile for you, to keep the lines of worry from etching into your forehead. You said I was a girl who couldn't decide between the ocean and the shore. Said the only way to make me fall in love with the present was to turn it into my past. And now this poem is, it's my favourite to read out. And, you know, it's very much inspired by the sea in terms of its rhythmic quality. And I was contacted by a publication who wanted me to write wanted to write something for their September issue. But then by the time I'd submitted it, they said, "Well, it's a little bit late. So can we put it in our October issue? And would you be able to change the title to October Love?" And I said, "Absolutely not." So I got to keep the poem, which I'm really glad I did. So here it is. September love. How many years must we put between us to prove we are no longer in love? How many summers and Septembers, distractions and chance meetings, remnants of our sad hopeful love in another's look, an all too familiar gesture? How long do we go on dragging our bodies day after day through this yawning, yearning world, searching for a glimpse of what could have been? Someone else like me for you, that your experience of love has not been defined by the way I spoke your name into the hollow of your neck. Ask me if I have found the same kind of reverence anywhere else but in your slow, patient hands, your sea-salt lips spilling laughter mid-sentence, my heart rising in a crescendo like a wave ready to crash. As you whisper to me, love is the only thing that time cannot touch. After all this time, my love for you burns constant and true. my guiding light, my morning star. Time is testament to the relentless, unyielding power of this old ancient love, a love I will carry with me from eons to oceans to inches back to you. And this poem is titled 33 Locks, and it's very much about my life, you know, growing up in a small town and then, you know, moving across the ocean and living by the sea. And yeah, it's just my experience of that. And the poem is titled 33 Locks. 10 years ago, I arrived here to this idle halcyon town, this little seaside house. There are 6 doors and 14 windows. There are 33 locks. I turn them over in my head when I can't sleep at night. I get out of bed to press my face against the tempered glass. Once I lived in a room without a window. I bet you could still see the places I wore the paint thin with my fingernails. I still think about it sometimes. Some nights, my mind feels just like that room. And this poem, which is the final poem that I'm reading in my my collection, is A Dream of Hope. Last night I slept for the first time since you left, and I dreamt about 2 suns in an apocalyptic sky, one edged in black and smoldering like a cigarette burn. I saw the sea rise up so high outside, so I climbed up onto the tin roof to look inside the mouth of Neptune. In a hotel room where we couldn't figure out the light switches, my legs were wrapped around you and I was humming a tune that we both knew by heart. There was a woman who made a shrine for her dead lover in the hollow of a tree. She looked straight at me with eyes milky white and whispered, "It's not too late." So that was See Your Strangers. September Love is a collection that I wrote. I wrote half of it, you know, before the pandemic, and then the other half after the pandemic hit. There's a dual quality to it, and I think that very much is like my life, and that you know, I seem to live, you know, on opposite sides of the spectrum, and I think most poets will identify with that feeling. But being in lockdown, I think it gave me this sense of, you know, isolation, and taught me not just to shut out the outside world, but this was also mirrored, you know, with social media and what have you, that I was able to shut a lot of that out as well. And I was able to feel like I was writing without some, yeah, which was an interesting development. So this poem is called Dear February. Dear February, you were always the month of goodbyes, standing sentry to autumn and her changes. Tall trees and dappled light on the city pavement, shifting under my feet, skirting the cracks. I think of my mother and what she lost one February, and there are things you know about me that I don't want her to know. Is my secret safe with you, dear February? Like you, I'm caught between the city lights and the sea, torn between my love and my home. Like you, I'm the sun that keeps setting too soon, missing the summer even while I'm here. Aww. And this poem, Diorama, is very personal. It's about my experience of, you know, moving across the ocean to be with someone who, I guess socially and culturally was just completely different to anything that I'd ever known. Diorama. Tell me about your life, they say. Do you really want to know about me? Not the meticulous shopfront of my life, the grinning dolls in the window, forever youthful, propped up with pills. The surgeon's scalpel making me more what I'm supposed to be, less who I am. Where I'm from, there is a name for women like me, women who slip into the lives of others, transient even if they never leave, who give all they have to a man and thank him for the privilege. Do you really want to hear about the raised eyebrows, the humiliation of being seen as less than I am, the desperation of proving myself at every party, what someone needs to say in colourful tones? Oh, she is someone, because if I wasn't, then I'd just be another eye roll, the absent shake of the head. Women grasping the hands of their husbands a little tighter when I'm in close proximity. I tell them about my life by the sea, the idyllic writer's life, the bohemian glitz of never having to sing for my supper, lying around in bed all day in my pajamas, petting cats, eating outer cereal boxes. And the thing I want to say is the very thing I can't, because this is not my life. And I know it looks beautiful to you through the rose-tinted lens of poetry. It looks beautiful to you when every light is on and the shades are up. It looks beautiful to you with my head thrown back, easy laughter spilling from my mouth, my arms wrapped around a man solely devoted to my happiness, his fingers through my hair, watching me. And you think, look at her, so much love, so much life. But only from the outside, only when someone's looking in. And this poem is titled Too Close. I live my life between being loved or being known, wishing the two were one. To be loved is a wave rushing past the shoreline, filling every void. To be known is an ache that never goes away. Now that you love me, are you afraid to know me? Will distance tell you what your heart refuses to see? You're too close to me, my love. You're missing. And this is, I've got two more to read. I'm not sure about the timings, but hopefully, you know, I'm doing okay. this poem is titled My Mother, and my mum was actually on the run from the Khmer Rouge. She was trying to get to the Thai border, and without knowing it, she was pregnant with me at the time. And this poem is really, really special just because, you know, I toured in many parts of the world. But the first time I read this poem out was at the Writers' Festival in Sydney, and my mum was in the audience, and that was an extremely special moment for me. My mother. My mother was a woman without country as I lay curled in her womb, her body marked for death, teeming with life, my life. Barely aglow when she glared into the pit of darkness, a hairline crack from death, crawling to the light, dreaming of a faraway shore and a little girl in her arms. My mother, my safe passage into this world, fought a war to show me wars can be won. And this is the last one. 27. What age are you when you dream about yourself in a thick underwater flashes of coherence, not knowing you're asleep? I am 27, and the drawer has just slammed shut on my hand, and I have yet to know pain, raw and undulating. I have yet to know rips you back from yourself, makes you over into something else. In my dreams, there are photographs of me that don't exist, and I am backlit against the sun, face in shadow, hair bathed in golden light. The fabric of my subconscious looks for you, calls to you, a fisherman and his net coming up empty. And you wear the face of someone I loved at 27. And my heart is like the ocean, breaking like waves, breaking all throughout the ages. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And, you know, thank you to the Cork Harbour Festival for having me and Paul and the team. Thank you so, so much. I really loved being here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lang. That was a beautiful reading. And it's wonderful for Avail to have you read and for Cork Harbour Festival. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I suppose I'll invite everyone to give another virtual round of applause for Lang Liav and for Theo Dorgan.
Thank you, everyone. It was such a lovely experience. Thank you.